Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight on the Hill, located on Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, go over there and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over, have some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record, eat some tacos, and just have a great time. There's all kinds of music going on over there, and a lot of unique recordings and things. It's really something special for St. Louis, and so get out and support them. Check it out. Full listings on GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and again, everything GaslightSTL.com. Also want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location in the Zach Building over... It used to be the old Plush building, if you may remember that location. So check it out. Go on over there, visit them. They got new records in every Friday. A lot of the live in stores and all kinds of things. So yeah, you can shop online 24/7, musicrecordshop.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, y'all? It's Paige Alyssa, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
We are right now.
Get lost,
babe,
in your love.
guess I asked for far too much from you. But here's one thing that remains the same. Love will never do without my music. That's never gonna change.
You should get lost,
oh,
in your love,
in my
since
love.
Since you've lost,
since I lost yours,
my love.
I lost your
you
love.
You should get lost,
I'll get
in
lost
in your love,
in my love,
in your love.
Oh yeah, that's what you told me.
You should get lost,
I will get
in your love.
Since I lost
my love,
your love,
you should get lost.
I'll get lost
in
yeah
your love,
in my
in
love,
your love.
Hey,
you should get lost.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Paige Alyssa.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that you're here. This has kind of been a long time in the making, really. Like, I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fun thing. Like, but we have a mutual friend, Gavin McNutt, who's been on the show a couple times.
Shout out to Gavin.
Yeah, great guy and a super talented singer-songwriter in town. And he shot me a text one day, and he's like, hey, you ought to check out my friend. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll, I don't know, it was like, maybe like even like that next week or something like that. It was very soon.
Yeah, I think I probably reached out to you on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then I think we met when I was singing back up one night with Sean for the Voodoo Players
right
at Broadway Oyster Bar. And I was like able to give you my card and stuff.
Right.
So we were finally able to put this together. So
yeah,
I'm happy about it.
For sure. But it was just kind of, like I said, it was just crazy how, like, yeah, he's like, hey, you know, hey, check out my friend. And then, like, the next Wednesday I walk into Oyster Bar and then you're up there and I'm like,
here I am.
Hey, I'm Shane. You know, so.
Yeah, no, I wanted to make sure, like, I had the chance to introduce myself to you.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, yeah, so we, again, you know, being at Oyster Bar on Wednesday nights with Sean Cannon. Yeah, you've done a few nights down there with him. And we've become friendly over the time now. And it finally worked out to make this happen on the show. But, yeah, those anybody that hasn't been down to a Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players Wednesday nights, you definitely should go down there and check it out.
It's popping for sure.
Yeah, he's killing it every Wednesday.
Yeah,
and you can see Paige with Sean on February 8th.
Mm-hmm.
For Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's usually a pretty popping show, so y'all should check it out. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I think. Last time I saw you down there, they let you do some Stevie Wonder, doing some. You did.
I did Sir Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So always happy to sing Stevie. He's such a huge inspiration to me. So yeah.
Yeah, that sounded great.
Thank you.
It was very cool. That was
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a funk and soul night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
my favorite.
Yeah, definitely.
Uh huh.
But yeah, your voice lended really well to covering Stevie. It sounded awesome, and
thank you.
And of course, the band is just killer.
Out of control,
yeah.
Crazy good.
So I want to kind of, a lot of these, I like to kind of, you know, allows me to sit down in a quiet place instead of, you know, at the bar and try to catch up and get to know a little more about you.
Yeah.
So tell me where it starts. Where does music start for you?
Music starts way, way, way back in my life. So ever since I can remember, my mother has been playing piano and organ for a church. And, like, that's where I got my start at. Being a minister of being a daughter of somebody who's a minister of music, it's just like that's what I was around constantly. And gospel music was like my first segue into music. And like I started playing the drums there. So like, and I was around 9 years old, I started playing the drums in church and being involved in choir and stuff like that. So I was really immersed in like gospel music, and I got familiar with those chords and those harmonies really early on in my life. And like, it's just been a part of my DNA since then. And I got into popular music, like, at my grandma's house. She had this really old TV. For whatever reason, MTV2 would come through just barely. It was really fuzzy.
Yeah.
But I was able to, like, see videos from Destiny's Child and Aaliyah and Missy Elliott and Prince. And that's what led me into, like, you know, hearing my first parts of pop music at a younger age, too. Because when I was in the car with my mom, it was always, like, Vicky Winans and Kirk Franklin and John P. Key, Hezekiah Walker, all those folks who have a huge influence on my style, too.
Right.
But that's kind of how I glued both worlds together with pop music and gospel music, and those are like my early starts with that.
Is that, and that's originally from St. Louis as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Born and raised.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. That's one thing. I mean, obviously the show's centered around St. Louis. I've had a couple of national, regional acts and stuff, but I try. I mean, it's always exciting how much amazing talents coming out of St. Louis and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, there's so much. There's so much. It's kind of like a best kept secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to shine a little light on it, but there's some of it that's kind of like, I kind of want to keep this a little secret to myself. See? You know, it's like, it's like you want everybody to know, but then it's also like, it's so cool to
just kind of keep it.
Yeah, just, well, this, you know, where you can actually see some of your friends, your talented friends in these clubs and stuff. I mean, granted, you want everybody to be rock stars, but it's like, something gets lost in translation when you're in those big arenas and everything else. And,
this is true, yeah.
You know, so it's nice when you're able to witness something special inside of a small club like that, or something like, you know, in an oyster bar or whatever. And it's like,
yeah, no, there's nothing like an intimate setting. And like, granted, I'm getting to the point in my young career where I want to start booking bigger places, mm-hmm. but like, there's nothing like playing at the Dark Room and having it jam packed. Or when I did my show, I did a show at Lily's back in last April, and it was packed, and it was just so great because that energy is just flowing everywhere because the venue is it's a lot more intimate. Yeah. So like, it just, nothing beats that. And granted, like I said, I want to start doing bigger shows and whatnot, but mm-hmm. like, I think I'll always be the type of person that will continue to gravitate towards smaller venues no matter how big I get, because
yeah.
I love that feeling.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So you're watching some Destiny's Child videos and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah, huge Destiny's Child fan, yeah. Huge Beyonce fan. Like, watching those ladies when I was younger, like, laid the groundwork for a lot of stuff for me, especially like for like harmonies and stuff in my music now, even. And like, Beyonce is the reason why I decided to go into pop music and want to be a pop singer and performer. Like, it was her along with Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, and Prince are like my trinity. They lay the blueprint for like me as a performer. So like, those four have like a really special place in my heart. And I just remember the first concert I ever went to was the Beyonce Experience in 2007. So 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw her at Scott Trade. So that, watching Beyonce growing up and Destiny's Child growing up, like, those are my girls. they've had a huge impact on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a lot of 90s on 9 and the Pop 2K on,
yes,
Sirius XM. And
Independent Woman.
Yeah, came on.
Yes.
Came on the radio, and I'm in my car dancing and singing.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie, How Your Angels Get Down, like that.
Yes, that's my jam. Like, Survivor was one of the first albums that I've like ever bought. You know, so seeing like Independent Woman and, you know, Survivor, all those like Bootylicious,
sure,
like, those are all my jams, like that. I love that CD. So I've been rocking with Destiny's Child for some time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like I said, of course, huge stamp on 2000s pop music and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Absolutely.
And of course, and then leaving Destiny's Child and starting a solo career and then taking over
just
the world.
Taking
after
over
that.
The
yeah.
world. Like,
yeah.
Just crazy. And I'm so glad that I've had the opportunity to like support her through that, mm-hmm. and see her, because I love Beyonce.
Yeah.
I love her.
That's a good first show. My first concert was like 97. I went to see Matchbox 20, Semisonic, and Soul Asylum at West Scott Trade or whatever it was called.
Keel Center or something like that. Yeah.
So it's still an amazing experience. I'm a big Rob Thomas fan and Matchbox 20. I'm sure I went to something before. Mm-hmm. That's the first one I recall
that was like,
asking my mom to take me to a show and that's the one I wanted to see. And so,
yeah, no, I remember like when Beyonce said she was coming in 2007, like I was like saving up my lunch money and like pennies and nickels and quarters in like a shoebox because I was like, I'm going to go see Beyonce, right. And I did it. I got that money together and bought tickets for my sister and I, and we went to go see her, and it was incredible.
Yeah,
incredible. I'll never forget it
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's a big Britney Spears fan. Mm-hmm. They happen to share a birthday as well.
Oh, awesome.
So like she's had like this you know, connection to her ever since, and,
yeah,
and things. But she's playing in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Doing,
she has a residency, yeah. I think. Yeah,
so we were talking about it, like how cool that would be to, you know, to take a trip to Vegas and go see it. And but I don't know, we couldn't pull the trigger, make it happen, and you know, just too much money. And
I feel that.
But you know, if it was here in St. Louis, it'd be way different. But yeah, you know, having to fly, get a hotel, mm-hmm. and all the, and the show and everything else. But yeah, that's one that she would love to see, and I think it would be in a, just the visual, just the show itself. I mean, is something really to appreciate. What, you know, let alone you're a fan of the music, but just like Beyonce, the show itself is like, is just,
yeah, you know, it's
to the next level.
Because like for me to go see somebody live, it's a masterclass for me. It's not even just me going and seeing that person. It's like I am learning, because that's what ultimately what I want to do. And like, usually with my favorite artists, like I love them on record, but like seeing them live just brings a completely different element into the mix of their music. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why whenever Beyonce goes on tour, I go and see her. I feel like I've seen just about all of my favorite artists, with the exception of Prince and Michael Jackson, because unfortunately they passed away, which hurt me to my core when Prince passed away. But I've had the opportunity to see Stevie Wonder live, and Janelle Monáe, and Pat Metheny, all these incredible people that like I adore. Janet Jackson, I've had the opportunity to see her live at the Fox. So I always just make an effort to go see them. Justin Timberlake, another person that's had a huge influence on my style too. So like I always make the effort to go see folks live when I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton thing at the CMT?
I didn't see it in real time, but I ended up seeing it because one of my friends that I play out with was like, you gotta see this. And like, I think they did Tennessee Whiskey and Drink You Away.
Yeah,
like tore it up.
Sure.
Tore it up. Chris Stapleton has an amazing voice.
Yeah, that guy's
an amazing voice.
An incredible songwriter too.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
But yeah, it was kind of cool. Like Justin, it was a song that he wrote and recorded, and as a pop song.
Mm-hmm.
And then another guy, David Fanning or something, I forget his name, but it might be something like that. He did a country version of Drink You Away.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, according to the story, like that's always how Justin heard the song, was more of a country sound.
Yeah.
And then it was really cool to see him and Chris do it live, like that together. And it was, it like came off,
tore
like,
it up. Yeah. Just like, yeah. I love JT too. He was another one of the folks who was there like early on in like me getting introduced to popular music.
Sure.
And like, I feel like a lot of my vocal technique or my style, the way I solo and like ad libs and stuff, has come a lot from JT. Because he's one of my favorite male vocalists. And I think he's one of the greatest male performers from our generation for sure. So
yeah, definitely.
I love him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got to see many of those live. I mean, I like the pop music stuff, but I'm a lot more into rock and blues and stuff. And but you know, I can appreciate everything, all of it, and I really dig it. But it's just, I don't know, that some of that is like, and I do realize you're getting so much stage production where that's why those ticket costs are so high.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually a part of it too, is that a Beyonce show or Timberlake show is just out of my budget. You know, it's like gets a little steep up there sometimes.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. That's why I'm just like, when I know one of them are coming, I'm like, okay, y'all, get my friends together. We got to get our coins. We got to get our credit cards.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know it can be super expensive, but it's worth it though.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of the hustling now for like the street team stuff to get tickets to the pageant and things like that. So, it's pretty nice with getting some free shows, you know, so
cool.
Just getting a little spoiled there and not having to pay for all these the big ones. But
yeah, especially at the pageant, they always have some really great artists that come. Like,
yeah,
they had Highest Coyote come last year, which is incredible, and Tori Kelly was there. So like, yeah, you're definitely getting like the sweet end of the deal for sure. Sure.
There's a couple I was really kind of surprised by. They got Casey and JoJo and Jagged Edge both coming up like right away. Yeah. I was like, that'd be interesting. They're not like not on the same show, but
coming up
two nights. But yeah, I think the Casey and JoJo is for like might be Valentine's night. Like,
oh, cool.
And then Jagged Edge is like in March or something. So
I might have to check that out.
Yeah, I was like, that'd be fun. I love those guys, but love all those stuff. Again, the kind of that 2000s R&B. So. It would be fun to see those guys doing it live.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking it'd be really cool. I doubt it would happen, but it'd be really cool if Nelly jumped up there and did Where the Party At.
Where the Party At. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was my song.
Yeah.
Oh. That was my jam when I was younger.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Both chumps froze.
Man. Yeah. It's nothing like that 2000 R&B. Even though my heart is like 90s R&B, that's where my heart lies. But I have a heavy appreciation for the 2000s too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of excitement, you know, you're coming out of a gospel background mm-hmm. and coming out of the church and things, which seems to be the story for a lot of pop artists, you know, you just getting to see all these videos and you're like, that's what I want to do.
It was a thing over time. I think that the universe always knew that this is what I was supposed to do before I knew it. Cause people like Janet Jackson, Prince, and Michael had always been in my life, subconsciously, even when I didn't realize it. Like this is random, but I remember my mom had a tape. And for whatever reason, the Velvet Rope Tour was like a piece of the Velvet Rope Tour had gotten recorded on that tape. And I remember watching it, not knowing that it was the Velvet Rope Tour when I was younger. And then, I was just like enthralled with Janet though. And like her movement and like her as a performer and like seeing the When Doves Cry video on MTV on that fuzzy TV in my grandma's den. And like just knowing that that was Prince and seeing Michael Jackson at his 20th anniversary, moonwalking for the first time on CBS, and like hearing you want to be starting something for the first time. Mm-hmm. So like all those things just kind of like would pop up, and I would see them off and on throughout my life. And the older I got, the more immersed I got in who they are and as icons to popular music. And it just got to the point where I've been singing all my life and playing music all my life, because I originally was going to go to law school, become a politician, become a lobbyist, and do that type of thing. But like, it was around eighth grade, and like I just saw Beyonce, and I was like, "That's what I want to do."
Yeah.
I see her do that, and then I can do it too, and see her conviction and how she conveys herself as a woman, as a strong black woman, and like, you know, she's able to do whatever she wants to do, and like people respect her for who she is. And like I saw that and how she had that persona on stage and how she carried herself with so much elegance and professionalism, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And so I just slowly started making my way towards that. When I graduated from high school, I came to Webster. I was undecided, but I knew I wanted to go into music, and I just didn't know how to get there. So that's kind of where that started with me taking everything professionally, and just gradually over time, I've made it to where I am now and able to produce and write and compose on my stuff on my own. So yeah.
When do you start writing songs?
Well, I started writing songs when I was like a junior in high school. So I still own this notebook. It's like this little crappy journal that I had, and it just has like songs that I wrote when I was in high school. A lot of those I never recorded there because they're just like songs in high school or whatever like
sure.
that. But I wrote my first, like wrote and produced, co-produced my first professional EP in 2014. That's when The Weight Is Over came out. And that was with the help of my friend Wolfgang Blair, who's a local producer, Darius, who we were talking about before we came on live. They helped me put that together. And my friend Sam Mall actually recorded it here in Webster Studio, mixed and mastered it for me. And I wrote everything on my own, and I had production help from those two gentlemen that I just mentioned there. So
nice.
That was kind of when I got my first professional start with popular music.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's available now. You can a lot of the streaming services, you said.
Yeah. Anywhere music can be streamed, you can find The Wait Is Over. I believe it's also uploaded on YouTube. So if you YouTube mm-hmm. page Alyssa, The Wait Is Over, you can find that that music on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first EP. Get your foot in the door, kind of get you.
Yeah.
But then, what? 2016?
Yeah, so The Wait Is Over was like, that was me. I just wanted to put out a record and right. show people, like, I can do this. Because I was doing a lot of jazz music, because that's what I got my degree in here at Webster. But I was like, I'm a pop musician, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I want to do something to solidify that. And that did that, and it was cool. So after I graduated, though, I released one single called Fallen. Fallen was the first single that I produced all on my own. And Sam, who has been my sound engineer since the beginning, mixed and mastered that as well. So that's also available on any streaming service. And that was, Fallen was a cool song because, like, it was my first time exposing myself as a producer all by myself. So I was, like, vulnerable, but I was sure. really proud of it. And, like, you know, I was able to rap, spit a few bars, too, because I like doing yeah. that on my songs every now and then. So it was that. And then following that, Songs For Myself came out in 2016 after Fallen. So that's my latest EP that was released February 29th of last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said most of that was kind of written at, what, summer of 2015?
15, yeah. So Songs For Myself was, like, I was just going through it, post-breakup, post-grad life. I was just, like, I just felt like my life was falling apart. And mm-hmm. it wasn't, but, you know, things were changing, you know right. what I'm saying? So I wrote myself through that really, really hard time. Because even when I released Fallen, like, because Fallen's a really happy song. It's about falling in love and stuff, but, like, the place I was at when I wrote that song was a prelude to Songs For Myself. It was basically, like, my mindset there was, like, yearning for something that I had prior to where I was at in my relationship at that time, and just, like, getting back to the basics of, like, what it felt like to fall in love again, but, like, realizing that I wasn't going to get that back. And that's where I got stuff like the song Lost Your Love, which is basically about me choosing my music over anybody else or over my relationship of any kind. And that's why Songs For Myself is a really emotional record.
Sure.
Because I just put all of my frustration into it. So it was a hard time, but I had a great time writing it because I had to write myself through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's I forget what the title of the song was, but I recall there was some lyric that sometimes you struggle to find the words, but you write it in the song or something.
Yeah, the opening track. Oh, God, I'm really bad at remembering my own words.
it was something to that effect, right?
It's just, like, to the point where, like, I couldn't really talk about my frustrations. It's like, and I can, but it's just, like, I can convey my point better when I put it into a song, because right. that's the language I speak the best.
Yeah, that's your outlet, that's your mm-hmm. release, is to take it, pen to paper, and mm-hmm. make it a song, and whatever it might be.
Yeah, power through it.
Yeah. Like I said, I was listening on the way down, and I was really enjoying it. I enjoy the lyrics, so, like, there's a lot I could relate to as well with, and that's a lot of, for me, as a fan and of singer-songwriters and stuff, that relatability, you know, mm-hmm. that fact that, like, I can, you know, even if I don't exactly relate what you're saying, but the believability also, where I can believe, you know, I know you went through it, you know.
It's, yeah, like, so. And that was the thing with that set Songs For Myself apart from The Wait Is Over, because I feel like my songwriting got way better on Songs For Myself, because that was the most honest I had ever been in my songwriting. When I wrote The Wait Is Over, I was just trying to prove to people that I could do it, you know what yeah. I'm saying? And the effort wasn't bad, but it's just, like, when I took everything off, like, I just, like, told myself I owe it to myself to be honest on this record, as honest as I can. And, like, mm-hmm. there's so many that you can feel it. I feel like you can feel it, and it's more relatable because, like, I poured myself into that record. And even stuff as little as, like, using the pronouns that I use in Songs For Myself, because, like, I didn't want to, like, talk about women on my first EP because, like, I didn't want people, not that I didn't want people to know that I was gay, but, like, I was still really affiliated with my church and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I didn't want that to come up and, like, like people to judge me a particular way, but like this next record or Songs for Myself came out, it's like I'm going to talk about the people that were in my life at that particular time, and if they were a woman or a man or non-binary, whatever the case is, I'm going to use the pronouns to which I know them by, or yeah, to which the story came out by. So it was my first time like singing on record as like an out queer artist, so like it was really a special record for me.
Yeah,
because it was so honest. Yeah.
Did you feel, I mean, do you feel like there's a different response from that? I mean, like, do you get backlash, or do you get more people that are really appreciating that you're being honest about it?
Yeah, I think it's people appreciate me being honest. If there is backlash, I didn't get any of it. But it's just like, this is who I am, and it was just important for me to embrace it. Like, this is who I am.
Definitely.
This is why I'm hurting, and I'm trying to get through the hurt. And it was just important for me to bear everything that I had. But people were really supportive. Like, I feel like people love this record more than they did The Wait Is Over, which is, like, that's what should happen. Like, every time I do something, it should, like, be better than the last time anyway. And I just felt so free when I had, like, let everything go and was able to sing about what I wanted to sing about and talk about who I wanted to talk about and the way I wanted to talk about them, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that it's definitely something I noticed when, you know, you definitely, like you're saying, using the pronouns that you use when you were, you know, saying she and describing some of these songs and stuff. And there's part of that, too, I think, where, you know, I can kind of almost put myself in there as a straight white male and stuff. I could even also, you know, relate to those feelings that you're describing for a woman.
Yeah.
You know, on my side. So
I feel that.
But yeah, you know, it was. I thought it came off really well. Great record or EP, and so that's also available on the streaming sites: Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, SoundCloud, whatever you prefer to choose.
Yeah,
so,
it's all there.
Yeah. So get out there and check that out. One of my favorites that we kind of talked about, you said a lot of people like, was bra.
Yes.
I think it was great that he used that word bra anyway.
Bra. Everybody loves that song. My roommate and my publicist and my best friend, brother, whatever you want to call him, the rock in my life, Darren Lewis, like, I have played that song for him and he loved it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I like bra too. So, bruh, like, little backstory around that. Like, I was, like, this was, like, also post-breakup time, but I was, like, really feeling somebody. Like, I was like, bruh, I like them so much. And, like, literally every time they would walk by, I'd be like, oh, God, here they come. And I'd have to, like, reserve myself or try to be cool, and I don't know how good I am at doing that. You know, you'd have to ask them, but I'd be like, bruh. And then, like, you know, when you like somebody, you just, like, you see them, like, oh, maybe we could be more. And it's just, like, your mind is just, like, speeding up and just, you know, because you have a crush on that person. So,
definitely.
Like, I wrote that. I had, like, came home from work and, like, wrote bruh in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, so frustrated. I'm like, I really like this person. And I cannot wrangle in my crush for them, and it's getting hard, so like, I need to write it out. So I wrote it in like 30 minutes and took a nap. And then, like, you know, then in the next few weeks I went to Shock City, and the person playing keys on that is Jesse Gannon, so he's also an amazing keyboardist. So he went into the studio with me, we laid that down, and we have bruh, everybody's favorite song.
Fun game that you should all play. It's called catching feelings that haven't been thrown your way. See, I haven't played this game in a while. Having a crush really ain't my style. But there's this one girl that I can't get out of my head. So I'm like, bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart ain't got me catching feelings for my friends. Bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart got me catching feelings for my friends. Yeah. This is the very last thing I time she walks by, I feel my heart speed up. Can't seem to keep her out my thoughts. So I'll let time pass, let my feelings fade. So every time she walks past me, I can refrain from being like, bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart got me catching feelings from my friends. Bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart, it got me catching feelings from my friends, yeah. Got me catching feelings. Listen, I've got a crush on you, and you'll never, never know. I've got a crush on you, and you'll never, never know. You'll never know. I'll power through this. It ain't no thing. I've caught these feelings, and I don't wanna play. I've got a crush on you, and you'll never, never know. You'll never know. Hey, but for now I'm like, bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart, it got me catching feelings for my friends. Oh, bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart, it got me catching feelings for my friends, yeah. Friends, bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart, it got me catching feelings for my friends. Bruh, goddamn, there she goes again. Maybe we can be more than just friends. Bruh, goddamn, there I go again. My heart, it got me catching feelings for my friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's, you know, I listen to a lot of, Howard Stern show, and he gets a lot of these great singer-songwriters in, and that seems to be like the story for a lot. Like, you know, they're all like, yeah, we wrote that song in 5-10 minutes, what, and it's like, and it's their number one hit, you know, that kind of, yeah. It's just like, it's crazy to think, like, you know, there might be a song you've worked on for over a year or whatever, trying to figure out the right words and stuff, and then like, and that one doesn't go anywhere. And then the one that you just write in a half an hour and take a nap, that one's the one.
Yeah, and it's just like, because everybody loves that song. Because I love Bruh too. It's just not my favorite on the record.
Yeah.
And also, it's just like, I still get, now that I'm like past that point in my life, I get a little bit embarrassed when I think about like the backstory behind it. Because it's just like, I'm just not in that place anymore with that particular person. But it was just like, bruh, like that's exactly how I felt. And that's the reason why it's so playful. And like, it's just the emotions I was going through when I wrote that.
There was we were having a discussion the other night. I think it was I think he said it was Katie Lang or something. I'm not as familiar with her, but it was a song. This he was saying that it was, according to the story, was that she had a record and they had 9 songs on it, and they needed to turn in 10 songs, and she had a song that they wrote and recorded. They didn't really care for it, and he's like, why don't we just throw this one on there? And she's like, fine, I guess. Fine. Can we just put it at the end? You know, and he's like, yeah, that's, we just gotta have 10 songs for the record label. And that turned out to be like her biggest hit.
Yeah. So it's like, okay.
Yeah. And like sold, you know, so many millions of copies or whatever. And like, you know, and she has to play it at every show and stuff. But it's like something that she really doesn't like. I mean, she sings it fine.
Yeah.
Crushes it or whatever. But it's like, just one that, you know, again, like you just like you're saying, there's a lot of other songs on there that she's much more proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's funny how people gravitate to one song that, you know.
Everybody loves it. I had somebody like tweeted me a few weeks ago, and like they were doing a thread of like their favorite artists, and like I had popped up on the thread, and I thought that was dope. Like, yeah. When people do that, and they're like, favorite song, bruh. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't dislike bruh. I love all the music that I write. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
If I didn't like it, I wouldn't have released it. It's just like out of, you know, Lost Your Love and No Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And Beautiful. I'm just like, everybody just loves Broad. I think it's just because it has an acoustic vibe to it. And like, I also throw my jazz roots in there. That's really important for me to do at least once an album,
right,
to like show some type of jazz chops. And I think people just enjoy the content of it too,
because
it's super relatable.
Well, and the hook, you know, like it grabs you. It's catchy.
Yeah.
It's super catchy. You get stuck and it, mm-hmm, you know, makes you want to sing along. So,
yeah.
And that's a great pop song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that. So, yeah, check that out. Available, like I said, all the streaming sites. Do you have any physical copies? Did you print them?
No, I did not. Right now, I'm just all streaming. I couldn't really consider doing physical copies because a lot of people did enjoy Songs for Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I'm not taking off the table quite yet. But as for right now, though, it's definitely all streaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could always do some kind of re-release or something.
Me and Darren have been kind of talking about that, trying to see, because, I mean, people love the record and just keep the momentum going. So that's the reason why I'm kind of like in between errors right now, trying to figure out like if I want to do like a deluxe edition of Songs for Myself,
which, a couple bonus songs, or whatever,
and make
like
it a full like LP.
Yeah,
so that may be something in the works. You
know, it is. I mean, obviously, the discussion comes up a lot, but you know, we talk a lot about trying to figure out how to sell music. You know, a lot of people aren't even buying physical copies anymore. Anyway, that's the other thing. You know, what Kanye put his last record on
Life of Pablo was streaming for a minute. It was streaming only, and then I think eventually he went ahead and went to
was that the only one? Was that on
Yeezus? Was physical, because I have a copy of physical of Yeezus.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Kanye West albums.
But there's a lot of those, you know, like they're kind of getting more streaming only kind of thing, and not as much the physical demand for it, you know.
I definitely feel that. I'm a physical person though. Like I always try to get, like, I'll do both the digital version and the physical copy of it.
Well, I like, you know, I talk a lot too, but I like buying vinyl.
Absolutely.
And I like that. Yep. I love that when you're buying vinyl now, it comes with a download card, so you can have the
MP3s,
and also and not have to buy it twice or whatever. You know, figure out how to rip it and stuff like that. So
I'm the same way. I have like a crate full of like Prince and Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, really like obscure Prince proteges, like just a ton of like vinyls and stuff. So
getting into now this, the EP's almost a year old, you said. Coming up on the birthday for it. But are you what are we looking at for 2017?
I'm just trying to... there's a lot of music that I've been writing, like a lot. I have just been like writing just pretty much constantly since 2015. Because I went through a period prior to that where I just had like a block. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't writing anything. So right now I'm trying to figure out what to do with that older music. Going back and reworking all of that music. And since my skills as a producer have gotten a lot stronger, going back and reworking production and like rewriting songs that I've had, I have just about like an album worth of songs ready to go in the studio, but I'm just trying to figure out what I want to take in there and what I want to do with them, because storytelling, as I told you earlier, is something that is really important to me. So if I can't find a cohesive story or a theme throughout it, I have a hard time going into the studio and like laying everything down. So like I'm still trying to figure out what is the message in between these group of music, or does it go better as like a sequel to Songs for Myself, as like, you know, like an after all the drama and after all the heartache and all the, you know, pain I went through, are these songs a reflection of that? Which I feel like they possibly could fit in that too. Mm-hmm. So like releasing that music, performing live more, having a lot more performances and music video in the future as well. So I'm looking forward to 2017, and I can't wait for people to hear and see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of live shows, we do have a date. You can come out to 2720 Cherokee mm-hmm. on February 17th, and you'll be doing an opening set at 8 o'clock with Belief Cycle.
Yep. So, I'll be doing that with Drew Mantia. I did, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Pete Ayers, but I did a show at Off-Broadway, and I opened up for Pete Ayers, and Drew was one of those folks who also opened up, so Belief Cycle was really, really dope, so y'all should come out and see that for sure. We'll have more information about it soon, so be on the lookout. You can follow me on my Facebook fan page. Just look up Paige Alyssa. You see me standing on stage with a mic in my hand at a show, so that's my fan page, and I'll be sure to put more information on there as soon as I get it.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, that talking, quite a bit about Michael. I was just the other night, I had the urge to watch This Is It.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook. Yeah. You put that in as a check-in. I saw that.
Yeah, me and my wife watched that, and one of the most incredible DVDs I've ever watched. Like, it's just insane that the work, if that show would have happened, and that's the thing, it was so sad it didn't happen.
Yeah, it would have been incredible. But,
and like, you watch the work that he put into that and how much all that show come together, it would have been just unreal. Like, that would, and that's a lot of fun for me to, as a fan, to watch that kind of behind the scenes, like watching that show come to life and watching how meticulous Michael was about, these dance moves and everything else, putting the whole show together, and how much hands-on he was, they showed him like backstage with the music directors, and he said, well, I need that here, he's like, so he's producing, he's writing, he's dancing,
he's doing everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the reason why I'm the way that I am. That's exactly the reason why I have my hands on everything as far as like my music and producing and writing my own stuff is important to me, because that's who my faves. That's all, like, Michael Jackson did that, and Prince, of course, he did that, and Janet Jackson had a lot to say when it came to like her music videos and her performances and even her production too. So like, that's the reason why I'm kind of built the way that I am, and the reason why I push myself in that direction.
And I think they said something like, I don't know about all the records, but like, I know, like, there's stories like Prince played like every instrument on the record or something like that, and like,
just about. I mean, or he had the help of like Wendy and Lisa, who are like two of his good friends, and who are also two producers that I adore as well. So it's just like, just raw musicians getting down and dirty and like putting the work in and like putting all these parts together to make the best music that they can.
Do you, so when you're in the studio, you mentioned doing the production work that you were talking about, do you get to do a lot of live instruments on the records, or is it?
I haven't recorded a real instrument song yet, which I will be getting to, I'm sure, this year. But when I do real instrument music, what I do is I usually write the chart out. And then whatever musicians are there, I have them read the chart down. For the drummer, I usually just tell them the feel that I want, because like John Lum is one of the people who play with me quite often. Yeah. John Lum and like Nick Savage. Yeah, John hasn't been known me for years, for literally years. But like, I usually can just give them a feel, or I'll give them a reference track so they can hear it. Mm-hmm. And then when we go in the studio, or if we go and do a show, they kind of get a feel for what the song is supposed to feel like. So hopefully, though, that's definitely a goal, is like doing my first real instrument track, because otherwise my workstation is, I have a MIDI keyboard that my godfather gave to me, and I have my iMac, and I'm just like sitting up there in Logic Pro 10 knocking stuff out and staying up late and grinding.
Yeah. At the show, are you going to be accompanied by
my full band?
Yeah.
Yep, I'll be with my full band.
Nice.
This time.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
That'll be a treat. I'm gonna try to come after that. That sounds fun.
Yeah. No, it'll be John Lum on drums, Dr. Feelgood Philip playing keys for me, and Teddy Brookins will be playing bass. So it's a killer lineup.
Yeah.
Kill it every time.
Teddy's a bad dude.
Telling you, man. Teddy's
one of my favorite bassists to watch in town.
You know, it's just, he has like this sound that is just so fat, and like, he just knows what to play and when to play it. That's the only way I can describe it. It's just like, I love hearing him on my music because, like, the way he realizes it, he just takes it to a completely different level. Same with John and Phil. It's just like when they come together, it's just, it's magic on stage. So I always look forward to playing with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen, got to know John a little bit through some of his stuff and through Richie Kilkin and
Richie.
And stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, these guys have all kind of become in my circle of friends now and stuff. So
That's what happens. Yeah. For sure.
It's cool, you know, just like I mentioned, Gavin introducing me to you and stuff. There was a lot of this, great networking that I, even through the Oyster Bar too, meeting all kinds of people down there. And, so it's really cool to realize, St. Louis is a big town, but very small in the same sense, you know.
Yeah, I feel like all the musicians know everybody, and like I feel really grateful that like I've had the opportunity to like know people like John Lum and Jesse Gannon and Nick Savage, Richie, Teddy and Phil. Like I can go on and on. Sean and like the folks that are in People's Key, like. Yeah. Having the opportunity to get to know all of them and like work with so many incredibly talented musicians has only made me be a better musician.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes I'm like still the new kid on the block, the youngest person on the block, because I'll be 24 next month. But like I started getting like into these groups of people because of like working with folk, because most of them graduated from Webster.
Yeah.
And like having the opportunity to play with Nick Savage and like Nick like having me on a show and like getting to know these other musicians that are like have been doing this for much longer and like have their technique down packed and like the level of musicianship is so high. So I'm like, if you're gonna be on the bandstand with these cats, it's like you got to have your stuff together. So like being in this group has made me be a better musician, better band director, a better composer, and a better mm-hmm. producer, flat out.
How did you come to meet Sean Cannon?
I think Sean may have, okay, so Zena, who also sings back up with Sean and like, you know, is a local singer mm-hmm. around here as well. I think they needed a singer to do backup, and I think Zena dropped my name and she's like, hey, Alyssa, Paige Alyssa can do it. And then I just showed up for rehearsal and like it just kicked off this chemistry that was really dope. So like he still like taps me to come sing every now and then with Voodoo Singers, and I'm incredibly grateful for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just crazy to like, you look at those, the players he gets up there every Wednesday night, and some of the best all around town. So you're right there with some great company.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's gotta feel really good to be, you know.
I mean, it does, especially knowing, like I saw you at the beginning of the segment, I told you I wanted to do music, I just didn't know how I wanted to do it. Because, like, I came into Webster, I only knew one key signature, and that was mm-hmm. C. Like, I didn't know anything, and, like, vocal technique was not a thing for me. Like, I came in, I just wanted to sing, and I had to discipline myself over those 4 years and really get down and do the work and play catch up to get to the point where a lot of kids who came in when I was a freshman were already at. And so like having that opportunity to like go from knowing absolutely nothing and to be able to hang in these groups of like these musicians that I look at as like gods and goddesses and like rock stars. Like I look up to them so much, and the fact that they take the time to like teach me, if I ask questions, they like take the time, and like even when I just see them play and being in that atmosphere, or like even being able to be on stage and singing backup for some of these folks is like a huge deal to me, because I know where I came from. Even though music has always been like a thing for me, it's always been in my life, like technique and like theoretics behind music hasn't always been there, because like I learned a lot of my stuff by ear to the church. Right. So being able to be on the share the bandstand with those folks, it's like it feels amazing, and like I'm super grateful for it.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy to think the hard work has already gotten you to that point, and we got so much more to do still.
So much, yeah. No, this is only the beginning. Yeah. I promise you that.
I'm excited. I'm thrilled to, you know, this is fun for me to kind of. A lot of this, the people I have on my show, sometimes it's their first interviews and, or, you know, they're just kind of getting things rolling, and it's just a lot of fun to kind of watch the flower bloom or whatever, you know, watch him, you know, take on and do great things. So it's just, I'm very excited for you, and
you.
Hopefully people jump on board for 2017 and keep an eye on things.
I have plenty of room on the train.
Yeah.
For real.
Well, check out the tunes and keep an eye out. We got hopefully some brand new stuff coming very soon.
Yes.
We have maybe a music video coming soon, and all kinds of exciting things. So
yeah.
But again, come out on. You can see Paige Alyssa with Sean Cannon and the Voodoo Players on February 8th, doing all Bob Marley songs from 9:30 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Broadway Oyster Bar, and I believe is that one for Bob's birthday, or I forget. I know we do one around, but it might be later in the.
Not entirely sure.
I forget, but I know it's coming up sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But and then again on February 17th, 2720 Cherokee with Believe Cycle, and so those are gonna be some good shows. And again, all the tunes are on all your streaming services.
Absolutely.
So check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you said Facebook, do we have in Twitter?
Yes, follow me on Twitter. I tweet a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get a little political, but if you're willing to hang and be down, follow me.
Yeah.
My Twitter handle is Miss Paige Alyssa, so that's MissPaigeAlyssa.
Yeah.
And same goes for, I think you can look up Ms. Paige Alyssa on Facebook, and it'll take you to my fan page. And SoundCloud, I believe, is the same. Ms. Paige Alyssa, SoundCloud. You can find me.
Right on.
Or just Google me. My SoundCloud will also come up too.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking some time out to hang.
Yeah,
and
thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Baby, no one can stop me.
No,
from Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.